Church, let's remain standing for scripture reading. Today's scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 15, 11 to 20. It reads, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in their whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants."' So he got up and went to his father." This is the word of God. Church, please be seated. Today we will welcome Pastor Li Kai for the message as well.
Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we are here and we want to hear you. No matter what we have been through, Father, we believe your Holy Spirit can speak to us. Quieten down our heart to hear you and prepare our heart to turn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The theme of today's sermon is No Way Home. I'm not sure whether you watched this movie, but we're going to talk about a real life story. It happened in China. A man you see over there, when he was young, at a very young age, he was a top student in his high school in 2001. He got it very well in his studies every year, but when he entered into university, he got addicted with video games, and that ruins his studies, and he failed his exam until that he's been kicked out by the school. He's so shameful to go back home and to tell his parents because he had been a top student, and right now he's been kicked out by school, and he left home. So for 16 years, this man did not contact his family at all. And how did he survive? He took up odd jobs, working part-times, and sometimes he can find a job, he can live his day through. But sometimes when he can't find any jobs, he survived quite badly, sometimes without a shelter, and sometimes even without 3 meals a day. And this is his life for 16 long years, wandering along the street and looking for jobs. And life away from home is really, really unimaginably hard for him. And it was only in the year 2021 when this man needed to renew his ID. He went to the police station to renew his ID. And then the authority recognized him as a missing person reported many years ago. And the authority, the police, informed his parents and how they got reunited after 16 long years. So the picture you saw, you see right now, he's 39. The moment when he met his parents, he knelt down crying before the mom to apologize for all these 16 years of disappearing. The parents told him that for all these 16 years, they've been searching for him every day. And the days were really tormenting for parents. When the news reporter interviewed the mom said, "I do not blame him. I'm just too happy to see him again." And this is a story of someone who ran away in real life. And we read a similar story just now. It's a prodigal son who ran away from home. Have you ever run away from home before? Either physically, emotionally, or even spiritually. Sometimes we did that because we commit a grave mistake. And it seems that we're too shameful to go back home. There's no way home. And more so in this prodigal son, speak lightly in this whole story. Run away from home. So we know about this story who tells about a man who got two sons. One of the sons is the younger one who's unhappy at home. He was at home. He He got everything he needed as a son from a wealthy family. He got a great future. But there's something beneath his heart that he's unhappy about. He wants something more. He wants more freedom. He wants his life without his father, without authority, so that he can do what he wants. He thinks that life apart from his father will be happier because he can spend any way he wants. He can party whenever he wants. He can sleep with anyone he wants. So this young man one day came to his father and demanded for his inheritance. I think if you want, you can try right now. While your father is still alive, you ask your father for your inheritance. When will you get your inheritance? It's only when your parents is about to die. They write a will and give you their inheritance. But if you ask your dad before he passed away, you'll get a slap on your face. Try that. Huh? Go back home and try that. You say this is your application for today. So that you can feel how would a father feel when a son approached a father to demand for his inheritance before the father passed away. And not just that, it's quite surprisingly when the son did that to the father, you know how did the father respond to him? The Bible verse just say that the father simply divided his property between them, between the older brother and the younger brother. He just divided his property. Just very simple sentence without any much emotion being written inside. We need to know that when a father have his property, his wealth is mainly property, it's mainly estate, it's mainly land. In those times, people have lands. Not like us, we probably have a lot of money in a bank, but those days, people have lands as their inheritance. So because land was being passed down from generation to generation, they were passed down from ancestor, and that likewise the father passed down to their children. So the eldest normally got double portion. So I suppose the older son here got 2/3 of the land or the 2/3 of the wealth, and the younger son got 1/3. Which means, in order for the father to pass his inheritance to him, he got to sell the land. The land is the mean of the livelihood because they need to do agriculture, to plant, in order to harvest. So in order to sell the land, it is very, very difficult choice because once you sold the land, you can't redeem it back. And once it's sold, it means considered sold. And you can't pass down to the next generation. But for the purpose of the young son's demand here, he asked for the land, he asked for inheritance. The father could not give him money. The only way is to sell away 1/3 of the land. And to lose part of the land is to mean to lose part of yourself, which also the identity is very much tied to the land. And that's why the word property over there, the Greek word for the word property is bios, which means, I think those who study bios know, which means life. So it's more than just asking for money, it's more than just, it is also tearing apart the life of the father. We say tearing 1/3 of the life apart for the father. Can you feel the intensity of this request? When you're being asked to more than be, when you're alive, to give your children the inheritance, and more than that, to tear your life apart. It is a lot of humiliation. There is anger in you if your child asks something like that. But the father did not retaliate. The father did not become angry. But willingly and painfully, the father just gave what the son asked for. After the son got what he wants, he's happy. He left home, and the Bible says that he went to a distant country and squandered his wealth in wild living. Imagine you're the son. You've got all the freedom, and you got all the wealth, you can do anything you want. The way that he spent his life is in wild living. No one in his life will demand anything. No one in his life of authority he has to obey, to submit to. He can do whatever he wants. And that's how he sees happiness is. Do whatever he wants, and he got whatever he wants to pay for it. Isn't it happiness that people look for? Without anybody to bother about them, they can do whatever they want. But such a happiness is very, very short-lived. And that's what exactly sin does to us. Over-promising, but under-delivered. We see what happened next. After he got what he wanted, he spent it in wild living. There is a time when he spent everything, and there is a severe famine. And he began to be in need. And then later, he being hired himself to feed the pigs and even to eat the pox of the pigs. That's the lowest he can got to be. You know, the Jews normally don't associate with the pigs because they're seen as unclean. And that's how he's being humbled by the famine in his life. The crisis to make him, to force him to go to the lowest of his point. While living is what he looked for, but mingling with the pig is not what he looked for. That's the result of a wild living. This man called Hugh Hefner, he's the founder of the Playboy magazine. He's the icon of the America, icon of pleasure seeking in the world of America. When he founded Playboy magazine, it's 1953, and he got a Playboy mansion with every day there's a lot of young women, beautiful women, having parties there daily, every day. And this guy is famous for his relationship with many multiple women at the same time. Many people envy, wow, such a man with so many multiple girlfriends. And the mansion was a symbol of a carefree life. So his life motto is to enjoy life to the fullest. That's his life motto. He embraced the kind of pleasure, especially sexual pleasure, which is his ultimate pursuit. So on the surface, his life appeared to be filled with joy, excitement, and abundance of material and pleasures. And so many people in America envied him. However, as time passed on, the consequences of his life began to show. So despite having many girlfriends and many relationships, in his later years, he admitted that his personal life is often filled with loneliness. He got multiple marriages, multiple relationships. All these were marked by emptiness, and he struggled to find true intimacy. Because to him, women are just his object of pleasure instead of intimacy. In the end, Hefner's life, although filled with material success, but left him empty and lonely. There is a constant chase of the next pleasure, the next party, the next girlfriend. But all this did not bring fulfillment and lasting happiness in him. So during one of the interviews, a reporter asked him, and he admitted during the interview, he said that his life he had chosen wasn't as fulfilling as he had hoped for. So moral of this story is very similar with what the prodigal son had encountered. Both of them see wildlife as their pursuit in happiness for life. The indulgence of inflicting pleasure, this is what they seek for in life. But it ended up in emptiness and loneliness. Ravi Zacharias once said that the loneliest moment in life is when you have just experienced that which you thought would deliver the ultimate, but it has just let you down. Let this word slowly sink into your heart. The loneliest moment in life is when you have just experienced that which you thought that would deliver the ultimate, and he has just let you down. Recall that the thing that you strive so hard to pursue, when you're single, you hope to get into marriage. When you just started your career, you hope to climb as far as you can. You hope to gain as much possession. The thrill of sex, the thrill of alcohol, the thrill of people approving. This thing that we really strive hard to. You thought once you got hold of this thing, you have the ultimate happiness. But the moment when you just experience it, you just felt the sudden emptiness and loneliness deep in your heart. Why is that so? Because in our heart there is a God-shaped vacuum which nothing in this world can fill except the Creator Himself. Let's read this verse together in Job 20, verse 5. 1, 2, 3. The joy of the wicked has been brief. The happiness of the godless only lasted a moment. I think most of us have been there. They've been searching for fulfillment in the wrong places, trying to fill the emptiness with possession, with status, with fleeting pleasures. But nothing of this can be filled. So what does it really mean to be spiritually lost? We know that the younger son is quite obvious lost. But there is another kind of lostness that's being lost at home. The younger son's lostness is portrayed as someone who asks his inheritance and left home and live an indulgence life and spend all he has and ended in this pigsty. But there's another lostness which is more dangerous because it's so subtle, not so obvious. And if you were sick, you would definitely go for a doctor. But the danger is you do not know when you are sick. And you wouldn't seek the doctor. And that was exactly the case for this older brother who was lost at home. You want to see the context of this parable before Jesus told this parable. What is the context, the setting it is? So that as Jesus told this parable, he has a context behind. It is in the Luke chapter 15, verse 1. They say the tax collector and the sinners were gathering around to hear Jesus. Then the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." It is in such context. Then, verse 3 says that Jesus told them this parable. In this parable, we got two sons. So, quite obvious, the younger son is being seen as the tax collectors and the sinners. But the older son is not so obvious. It's hinting towards the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. You see, the Pharisees and teachers of the law don't see themselves as sinners, don't see themselves as a younger son who got lost. They too are also sinners, and they are in desperate need of God's grace and forgiveness. Why? Why is the older brother lost also? You see, those who have lived a good life, I think most of us, we look decent in a way. Huh? We clear our exam, we do well while we didn't, or we didn't. Okay, it's quite sensitive. We don't put something funny on our body. We don't paint something on our body to look different. We look like quite kia, decent in a way. So correct, when we see that, we look okay. But sometimes when people around us, we are not that so-called belong to the category of decent child. And we have our self, the kind of comparing to them. We feel that I live my life quite well. And we easily pass judgment on them. We say that I'm not like them. I observe my school rules well. I perform my duties in my class. I labored, study well. I live a so-called moral life. And this was exactly what the elder brother commented. When he see the father just welcome the prodigal son back home and threw an extravagant party for him. And in his heart, he feels angry because he said that when the father invited the older son to come in to join the party, he said angry to the father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobey you." Did he really never disobey? He just disobeyed, right? The father invited him to enter the party, but he just said, "No, I'll not go. And yet you never gave me a young goat to celebrate." You see, this elder brother got so angry when his brother came back and the father did to him. It is the same picture when the Pharisees saw Jesus eating with the sinners and tax collector. They got angry because in their mind, such people don't deserve it. They are not as good as us, as well-behaved as us, as morally upright as us. They believe obedience and good behavior should earn them favor from their father. And this is a problem of all mankind here. And we always have such thought, our goodness should earn favor from God so that heaven should be open for us, a good person. So when grace and forgiveness is being extended to those so-called not seen as deserving, that's why the older brother got angry when the father threw a party for him, the wayward son. And this is especially true when someone who feels that they have earned their salvation by good deeds and is blinded by their own sin and the need of grace. Let's read this verse together, Ephesians 1, 2, 3. elder brother missed the call of the gospel. The call of the gospel is God's grace is a gift. It is not a reward for good behavior. Grace is a gift. Gift freely given to those who believe by faith, whether they live well, decently, or they wandered away. So actually over here we see that both the older brother and the younger brother are lost. One is lost in his reckless living, while living. The other is lost in his own pride and self-righteousness. Both are in need of Father's grace and forgiveness. I think as we read through this familiar story that is so famous in the Bible, I think the whole highlight of the story is not about the elder brother, it's neither also about the younger brother. The main character of this story is about the father. Comes to our final point, the prodigal God of grace. When we use the word prodigal, we normally use it the prodigal son, because the word prodigal gives a negative connotation. What does it mean, prodigal? The prodigal, the word means giving something extravagantly or wastefully. And why did we call God as a prodigal God? What did he spend extravagantly on? Or what did he spend extravagantly? It's his grace and his love. We need to recall the younger son, when he approached his father, what did he ask? He asked for his father's inheritance, which is also before his death. And he squandered all the money. And the father just forgave him. Just like that. Without scolding him, without demanding anything back from him. I'm a father. I got 3 children. When they did something wrong, I will punish them. I will make them, quote-unquote, pay for what they have so-called. I just share a very small incident. My youngest daughter just threw a hanger, threw the hanger, and it broke the TV, the screen on the TV. That was, I think, last year. Buying a TV, it cost some money, but I asked her to pay a bit, just pay a bit. I know that he can't pay much, but I want her to learn something, because every fault, every error that you commit, there is a price to pay. The father, of course, pay most of it. But I let my youngest daughter pay a little bit so that she knows next time when she throws something, she'll know where to throw at. She won't throw anywhere. Because that throw costs her some money. It's not a lot, but it still costs her. Most of the pay is being bared by the father. I pay most of it, but I just let her pay a bit. You need to know the error, the mistake that you commit, there is a price to pay. But you see, the younger son just came back, squandered off one of the father's wealth. The father just received him just like that. And he did nothing. He just threw a party for him. He did not scold him. He did not ask him to pay back. How can that be? Cannot. Correct, cannot. You see, we live in a world, we talk about compensation to pay for the mistake you make. We talk about atonement for the wrongdoing you do. You need to pay something for it. Because nothing is free. Nothing is free. Even if you say you got free lunch, free dinner, someone pay for you. That's why you got free lunch, free dinner. Someone labored so that you can able to enjoy it free. Nothing is free. But we see when the son returned, in verse 20, when he was long way off, his father saw him and filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Don't forget, the son had just mingled with the pig in the mud, eating the pig pods. He must be stink, smelly. Don't just talk about the son mingling with the pig. You see someone playing basketball, he just come back to you. Would you hug him? Maybe you just touch a bit. You won't hug him. You don't even talk about kissing him. But this son had been muddling with the pig in the mud. And the father just ran to him, threw his arm and kissed him. In the ancient day and in the modern time, it is the same thing. A dignified man does not run. Children run. Women run, especially when they go shopping. Young men run around up and down because they're playing. But a dignified man does not run. When these men run, you know, in the olden days, they don't wear pants, they wear rope. When you run, ladies, you know, when you run, you need to lift up your rope, both hands, and run. And for a dignified man, for a well-respected man, to lift out your robe and run like a child, bearing your feet, it is just, how to say that? 不好看啊. It really spoils your image. Imagine Lee Hsien Loong lift out his robe and run to you. Try to imagine. Lee Hsien Loong do that to you. The Prime Minister run to you, lifting up his robe, running to you. It really, it's not the image of a leader or image of a dignified man will do. And honor in those days, it means everything to the people there. Honor of a man, it means everything. And what is the point Jesus trying to drive at? Painting us this picture. It says that the father's love for this son was so overwhelming, he's willing to put aside his honor to love his son. And that was what exactly Jesus did on the cross. He was being stripped, brutally whipped, a crown of thorns placed on his head, kneel on the cross, and being mocked by people. And where is his honor in all this? You see, God loves you enough to lay down his honor, his dignity, and most of his life. And all this comes with a great cost. It's not free. Even though this grace is free, but the cost is the life of God, is the honor of God, of a dignified father. God bear, or the father bear, the cost of this reckless son's living. And the cost of the life of Jesus on the cross. Timothy Keller once said that the love of God is the love that doesn't make sense. And that isn't easy to grasp. But it is a love that redeems, that heals, that transforms us. It's not love based on merit. It's a reckless, radical, outrageous love. Reckless, radical, outrageous love. It's a love that does not make sense. The father never demands anything from a younger son when he returns home. No compensation at all. He just threw a party for him, because he's so overwhelmed by his return. Recall the first story, the real story, when the son recklessly left home for 16 years. How the parents been searching for him every day, 16 years. Can you feel the torment of the parents' heart? And when the son returned, the mom just said, "I'm just too happy to see him. I'm not angry at him." It's a very contradicting feeling. Do you know how much I spent, or how difficult every day for me is for these 16 years looking for you? But at the same time, you're so overwhelmed when this son came back. You never rebuke him. The joy of a son coming back is so overwhelming than the sin, than the mistake he committed. Let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3. How great the love is that the Father lavished on you with the thing you spent, with the things that you had done, and the Father did not say a thing. He just paid the bill for you and declare you as free, as redeemed. Now we're going to hear a testimony of our brother, Ben. He's going to share his testimony in Mandarin. So if you can't understand Mandarin, get someone beside you to help you to translate. He was someone who is found a home in church, but he was later hurt in the church and left home, wandered off, and he lived a wild life also, away from the Lord, and how the Lord stopped him back. I welcome Ben to share his testimony.
Dear弟兄姐妹，下午好。 我是 Ben， 我感谢主能够今天在这里分享我的见证。 在30多年前， 我认识了我的前妻， 她是一名基督徒， 是她带领我信主的。 因为她是泰国人， 婚后我们就在新加坡 一间泰国的教会服侍了很多年。当时为了生活，我去了泰国做生意，他选择了留在这里。直到有一天我回来到新加坡时，我的牧师告诉我，他跟我的前妻跟一个族内的弟兄走在一起。所以那时候我无法相信这个是真正的真实的，所以我当面的质问了他，然后他哭了，他答应我他会悔改，到最后还是婚姻还是走不下去，所以离婚的收场。我哭了，跟上帝祷告，我问神为什么会这样。那时候受了很大的伤害，我也不知道跟谁说我心中的那个痛苦。最后我决定离开了教会，因为我无法面对教会的弟兄姐妹们。所以我离开了教会，一离开就20多年，我没有勇气再踏入任何一间教会。离开教会后，我开始变得像赌博，到处借钱，并无法自拔，涉及到最后欠了很多高利贷。等到高利贷上门追债的时候，我真的没有办法，我只好把屋子卖掉。那时候没有钱，也没有屋子，人生真的走到很谷底，无法的缅怀。人生没有盼望，我感谢神，在我人生最低谷的时候，他没有放弃我，他既然赐给我的恩赐，让我住进现在在大牌19 Upper Boon Keng。直到去年的3月，受过埃加贝的家长的长老还有弟兄姐妹们的到我家拜访，所以邀请我来教会。因为教会给我儿子的补助金，所以我很感谢教会给我的这个补助金，我就参加了埃加贝第一次的主日崇拜。那时候我还没有去埃加贝之前，我心里是很大的挣扎。我在崇拜的敬拜中，我不停的流泪，因为圣灵感到我特别的孤单。从那次起，我就决定说我一定要回来寻找神，因为只有神才可以帮我度过我一切的难关。来到教会后，神让我成功的戒了烟，我相信有人听过我的见证，也开始改变了我的生命。在5月，我也参加了小组生活，也参加了启发课程，也10月我们也去了泰国那个短宣，并在12月在埃及被洗礼。虽然这个时间短短几个月，神让我感到有快乐跟平安，家庭也有改变。我的女儿去年也接受了主洗礼，所以感谢主一步一步的陪着我走到今天。当教会去年公布了计划要去泰国乌本宣教的时候，我不想报名，因为我不想回到泰国，我不想回到想起以前的事情痛苦和回忆。但是神给我看了一段经文，我顺服了神，参加了那次的短宣。在泰国那边的一次的教会的崇拜时，我听到那些熟悉的以前的泰国的诗歌，我又想起以前的画面，眼泪不停的一直流。很奇妙的，神也通过这次的敬拜医治了我，把我这么多年的埋在心里中的那根刺跟他拔出来。 使我完全得到释放，不再受伤。所以神要我面对的是今天的伤口，让他来医治我。所以他要我在哪里跌倒，从哪里爬起。这个是我很感谢神，神的旨意高过我们的旨意。我会去想为什么他要我去泰国的短线，我不明白，因为他要医治我，并在泰国那里医治我许多年的心里面的那根刺，完全得到了释放。感谢神，这么多年的不离不弃的爱，虽然离开了教会这么长的时间，神依然爱我，一直等着我回家，带着我进入爱加贝这个神的大家庭里面。啊，感谢主，我回家了。所以今天不回家，我回家了。哈哈，嗯，也是感谢主的慈爱当中，谢谢，一切赞美主，谢谢。
谢谢。Thank you, Ben, for sharing his testimony. I think it's very vulnerable to share. Initially, he struggled whether to share in details or not. But ultimately, he see the brokenness, he reveal the glory of God. God can use a broken vessel to show His love is powerful enough in our brokenness to heal us. 20 over years, he has left church, but God has not left him. God did not forget about him. It was God that brought him back home. And what about you? Where are you right now? Where are you? And maybe in the past, we are probably like a younger son. We live a wild life, indulging in sin, constantly chasing after one party after another, one pleasure after another, one thrill after another, one relationship after another. I think you know deep down in your heart, you're not satisfied, because there's a God-shaped vacuum in your heart that nothing can fill it other than God Himself. And maybe some of us are in the church, but we're probably more like an older son. We strive to serve diligently, but you see your duty, you see your relationship with God is only as a duty, more of obligation rather than feel the love of God. So you're out of obligation, you just give and give. And one day, you may going to be fed up and angry like the elder brother. When you see how others being blessed by God, and maybe not you, and you may ask God, why does he deserve it? I don't deserve it. Because you see your good deeds is only an obligation. It's never a love for God. Both of the brothers are lost. One run away from God. One is being there physically, but the heart is not there. Sometimes our failures, our sin can condemn us that we're too ashamed to come back home. Right now we're going to sing this song, Come As You Are. I ask the Lord to speak to you through the lyrics of the song. May you come out of darkness, come out of brokenheartedness, to find mercy, to find Jesus.
Come out of sadness. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are.
This song says that come as you are. Right now I want you to take this time, the sacred time between you and God. Come as you are. The parable is a beautiful reminder that God is always there waiting for us to return. Whether we are far off, or lost in our sin, or even feeling disconnected with God, He's always ready there for us to embrace us, to restore this relationship. No matter what they've done, no matter where you've been, God is always waiting with open arms, ready to forgive you, to restore you. He demands nothing from you, nothing at all, because He has paid the bill for you. Nothing He demands from you. Just come as you are. Will you come home today? Will you come home today? You don't have to clean yourself out. You don't have to dust off all the things. You just come as you are. Because God is waiting for you. You just need to acknowledge that you need His forgiveness. And let Him embrace you with His love. If you are ready to come home right now and take a step of faith, I'm going to pray a prayer right now. If you are non-Christian, if you are not a child of God yet, I want to invite you, and God is inviting you right now to come home. This prayer I'm going to pray is a prayer of expressing your desire to come home to God. God is love. God is grace. God is peace. He opened His arms and invites you to come home. So today, if you heard the word of God and your heart is touched, you feel that God is speaking to you, and you're not a child of God, I would like to invite you right now to pray this prayer together with me. Pray it out loud together with me. This prayer said, Father, I come to you today, realizing that I've been lost, running away from you, living in my sinful ways. I try to do things my own way, but now I see that I need you. I repent for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I ask Jesus to be my Savior and Lord of my life. Please restore me and make me new. Thank you for your endless love and mercy. In Jesus' name I pray.